Sometimes scripture is amusing, and sometimes the person reading it is amusing. What would it take, though, for you to be compelled to leave everything? Everything that you know, everything that you love, and follow someone. Everything. Because that's the story we hear today. We hear about Jesus and all the fishermen who have jobs. They have a life. They have brothers and fathers and family. They have a full-time work. They have a home. And Jesus comes along and says, "Follow me." And they do. What would it take for you to do that? Yesterday, we saw in our country and around the world something that compelled people, enough that they took to the streets, women and men and children. And it wasn't an anti thing, it was more a pro thing. Here's what we believe. Here are values and freedoms and the right to be respected that compel us to make that statement, to make a statement that is stronger than the statement of fear and of hatred and of putting people down. That's what yesterday was about being so compelled that people took to the streets across our world. What would it take for you to be that compelled? It's a good question and a hard one to answer. But often it takes not just our individual need to do something, our individual desire to do something, but it takes a community. I asked at 8 o'clock this question, I'm going to ask it here. How many of you came to St. John's for the first time because you heard about it somewhere, perhaps on the internet these days, perhaps from a friend? How many people came because they heard about St. John's? That's a pretty good number. Excellent. Now, how many of you stayed because you heard about it on the internet or from a friend? No one. Exactly. We do things, we go places because we're curious or because we have a need, but we don't stay there for that reason. We stay somewhere because we are compelled by the relationships. We are compelled by the relationships we form. And hopefully in this place, not only have you found relationships with those who are amongst us, but also relationship with God. Because that is truly why we are here. We are to be compelled and to be as compelling in our lives as Jesus was. That we can say, this is worth following. Come, follow, be part of this community. A community that believes in values that are greater, that are more wonderful, that give us life. That is what we are compelled to be like. Over the past weeks and months, we have been working to put together a statement. Churches do this all the time. A statement about who we are and what we want to do and how we're going to do it. And those are used mission statements, strategic objectives, operational principles, and plans. Because it doesn't mean anything if you don't actually do anything about it. And many of you have participated in this process. And so we have come up with a mission statement that is at the back, and you will hear about it later today. And I want to share it with you this morning. As a member church in the Anglican Church of Canada, we proclaim and celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ in worship and action. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we strive to be a committed, creative, and compassionate community that inspires and empowers all to more fully live the life of Christ. That encompasses who we believe that we are. All the things that you wrote down, all the things that you expressed, and all the values that we hope to place our lives amongst in this place. It's the kind of thing that it's just a statement, and if it lies on a piece of paper, it doesn't mean really anything at all. But this calls us into action. It calls us, see the words in it, proclaim, celebrate, worship, commit, create, compassion, inspire and empower, fully live. That is who we believe we are to be. And not only that, it shouldn't be who we are, but who we are obviously called again and again to be. That's why churches redo their mission statement all the time, because hopefully we're changing and evolving, and we have to be reminded what we are about. Today's reading in Corinthians is quite wonderful. I want you all to be in agreement, that there be no division among you, that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. What a wonderful idea. That is fabulous. And I know that there are some of you who won't like the words I just and want to change the odd word here and there, but it's really not about the words, and it's really not about us all agreeing all of the time. It's about a spirit of unity and agreement. It's about a spirit of, is that something that we can subscribe to as a community? Is that something we want to do? It's so wonderful that Paul goes on to say, it's been reported to me that there's been quarrels among you. Really? They're talking about the early church here. Some things never change. What it means is I belong to you and I belong to you, or I'm going to follow that person or I'm going to follow that person. We hear that in our world all the time. We hear it right now very strongly. And so we are meant to be models of something else, where we say we want to follow Jesus, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And my favorite thing in Corinthians, which I have never thankfully had to say as a priest, is I thank God that I baptized none of you. That's what it says. Verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you except for Crispus and Gaius. That would be like me saying, I am so glad I baptized none of you. Imagine. That's pretty strong. He is calling to account that community and saying, I'm really glad that I wasn't here and I didn't do that. That says a lot about the community, about a community in which division is so strong. And what's really interesting is that for a man like Paul that we know so much about, who created this church of ours in the beginning, says he didn't come to baptize. That's not what he came for. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, but so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. It's not about making more of us. It's about proclaiming the love of God to those who haven't heard it. It's like Bishop Duranville said, to go out and bring the people in, and then go out and bring some more in. That's what it's about. And if we're busy doing that, hopefully we don't have a lot of time to argue about how to do it. In our plan, we came up with some strategic objectives, because it's really important to know how we're going to make decisions and how we're going to decide what ministries and things that we should do should be part of our community. And so the nice thing is, this is only for the next 3 years. We might change them after that. But to nourish our faith and to care for each other within and beyond the walls of the church, while being open and welcoming to all. It is really important for us to be grounded in our faith. We are not here because it's a social club. We are not on this corner because we belong to the Lions or any other of those very valuable community organizations. We are here because this community as a whole, at least, believes in God and wants to share that good news. And we have to nurture that. It's hard work to stay committed when things are hard or when the world is changing fast. We need to nurture where we come from and where we belong. To undertake ministries that will serve the community in which we live and the wider world in practical ways. That's the action we were talking about. One of the actions is that we belong somewhere. We live here, we live in other parts of the city, and we also belong to a greater world. It harkens back to yesterday when people from all over the world met new people. Relationships were formed yesterday, if not in person, and yes, that happened, but also ideologically. An idea became a community, and people have taken that on. Well, we have that opportunity to do that too, to figure out how we can serve. To show leadership, take risks, and advocate for social justice. That all takes courage. And the way we find courage is to find that in each other and in the gospel. To actually remember that it takes courage to be compelled. It takes courage to stand up for what we believe in. It takes courage to speak out. It takes courage to do things differently and take risks. And it certainly takes courage to show leadership in our world. To preserve and care for our church as a sacred space for all and a secure home for our ministries. Whether we like it or not, whether it's the perfect place or not, this is where we live as a community. There are many people who said, do we even need the building? And that is a good question to ask. Many places are afraid to ask that question. But we have asked it, and the answer came back, yes. The fact of the matter is, if we weren't here, we would all be somewhere else. We'd be dispersed. It's a wonderful idea to think we could operate our ministries and have home churches and that kind of thing. But the fact is, there are just way too many Anglican churches still in the city of Ottawa. We'd all go somewhere else, or to a different church, or we wouldn't go at all. We'd sleep in. We'd be like Celeste, sound asleep in our beds at home. I'm jealous, but no. But what I'm saying is that we need this building. As much as it has its challenges and its difficulties, it has our name on it. It proclaims our space, the space that the Anglican Diocese of Ottawa holds here, that we are stewards of. And we need to preserve it and care for it and make sure it's secure for what the things we want to do and sacred for all who encounter it. And the last objective is to secure a sustainable financial basis for our mission and ministries. Clearly, if we don't have any money, if we don't have any cash flow, if we don't have any people investing in us, like you and others, if we don't have sources of income that are diverse, well, none of the following or the previous can happen. And so that's a very real, grounded, and in-the-moment objective which we need to take care of. So those are the things that are going to guide us over the next few years. And then there's a whole list of those fleshed out. And it's in a document like this, and it's at the back of the church, and you'll have opportunity to look at it later. But I just want us all to remember that no matter the best plans, no matter what we think we are meant to be, that there is something that undergirds all of us. We are here because of faith. And if not our own, perhaps the faith of our parents brought us to the church, perhaps the random act of a friend, and perhaps we don't know some Sundays why we're here still, but we are. And long may that continue. Long may we be committed, creative, and compassionate. And so may we be compelling. That's our real job, is to compel. To take the word that has changed and transformed us and healed us and helped us and made us enthusiastic. Someone said to me at the 8 o'clock this morning, Beth, just stop talking about all this. It's going to be great. And I wasn't trying to sell anything. I was just enthusiastic because I'm enthusiastic about us as a community and our gifts and skills and what we have to share and what we have to learn from the rest of the world. So take this document, play with it, enjoy it. We'll pass it hopefully at Vestry. We may make some changes before then, but it's ours. It's a living thing. And it's an opportunity for us to be like Jesus, to walk out and say, come, follow us, join us. There's something here that we want to show you. Amen.